Since time began, children have been playing games like cops and robbers where they ensure the good guys always win. In their minds, it's simple. The good guys win and the bad guys lose. The older we get, we realise things don't always turn out that way, but it doesn't stop us from wishing that it did. And while most police officers are good people, there are some that are not. One boy in Ohio was playing with his toy gun, trying to defeat the bad guys, when he was shot and killed by a police officer. Why? Let's uncover how racism killed Tamir Rice. Hello and welcome to the 23rd episode of Uncover True Crime Podcast and the second episode of our Racism Killed series. This week, we will be uncovering cases where racism has killed a person of colour and where their case has not been fully resolved or the victim did not receive justice. Yesterday, we uncovered the conviction of George Stinney, so if you haven't listened to that, please go check it out. You can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and other podcast streaming apps, as well as on YouTube. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at @uncover_pod and on Instagram at @uncovertruecrimepod. Before we get into today's case, I want to talk about the conduct of two police officers in Cambridge, England. In July 2005, they pulled over a black man who was driving down the road. He hadn't been speeding or driving recklessly. He didn't have a warrant out for his arrest, and there was nothing about his car that was out of the ordinary. So why did the policeman pull him over? I'm going to let him explain as the young man in the car videotaped the whole thing.
Stop motorist, I'm with the sergeant, we'll be state 5 in a couple of seconds. Right, I've got to go to quite a serious incident. The reason I stopped you is when you came out of the barns, no offence to you, but you're a black male, okay? I'm not going to lie to you.
So it's racism
right?
You stopped me.
I'm not saying that at all. The reason I've stopped you, I'll explain if you let me finish, alright? In this area, we have a number of drug dealers. I'm not saying you're a drug dealer. They come up from other areas that don't live anywhere around
here. I live here.
I know you might know that, but I don't because I've never met you before. Yeah. Okay? So the reason I've stopped you is because I haven't seen you before and I've been a local officer for a long, long time here. Yeah. So I've turned round and then when we came out to King's Avenue, your car had disappeared.
I hadn't disappeared because I saw you in the mirror, actually, because you come
out. We saw you go up King's Avenue, and we went up King's Avenue, and then we couldn't see your vehicle. Okay. So whether you went off us down the side street or not, I don't know. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. Have you got any ID on you? Just for your details on, just so I can. Oh, yes. Your ID, mate. That'd be brilliant.
Did you hear? Didn't hear the update for us? Did you?
No.
Industrial accident at Wild Tracks. Life-changing injuries. They want us to go to.
Okay, no worries.
Who wants to see
him? I'll take it, sir. Thank you very much.
Just explain why we stopped you. So for me a little bit, that seems a little bit strange sometimes, that I drive past a car and then it sometimes disappears. No offence to you, you might have been just going to see a friend. I've got no idea because I don't know you until I stop and ask. Uh-huh. All right. Then when we've done a little bit of a drive around through that estate, we've then seen your car again on King's Avenue, and that's why we've pulled you over, just to see what you're up to basically. Uh-huh. I'm not accusing you of being a drug dealer, I'm not accusing you of being a criminal, but if I don't stop people, how can I do my job?
Is what you did.
Yeah, but not because I'm racist, but because in this area, we have a number of people that come up to this area that are young black males that deal drugs.
So if I was white, you wouldn't have stopped me?
No, I stopped lots of white people.
But if I was white, you wouldn't have stopped me?
Yes, I would have done.
You would have stopped me if I was white, even if I drove past you. I'm not accusing you of being a racist, I'm just asking you a question. If I drove past you, if I was a white person, I drove past you, you wouldn't have turned around and come after me, would you?
Maybe not today, but I'm not racist. I stop more white people than I ever stop black people.
But you're just proving it, though, haven't you? If I was white and I drove past you, you would not have turned around. But if I'm a black person, I drove past you.
I've explained to you why I've stopped you, okay? I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't stop people that commit crimes in these areas. And we have young black males in this area that come from outside of Cambridgeshire that deal drugs. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but that's why I've stopped you, because we don't have that many young black males in this area.
Fair enough, but the fact is, you didn't have to stop me. You could have checked my details. You could have seen that I'm the insured driver on here.
That's the registration number on the car. That doesn't mean the same person is driving it that owns it or is insured.
Fair enough.
Not a racist, okay, but I'm doing my job. I understand why you might think I am, alright, but we don't get many young black males in this area, okay? So that's until my colleague was running your details through the computer system and I pulled you over.
Thank you very much.
But I've got no issue. And you wanted me to explain why I've stopped you, and I'm telling you the truth. I could have lied to you and made it up, couldn't I?
Yeah, you could have.
But I've told you the truth, because I don't think I'm being racist. I've stopped you for a reason. I've explained why. Yep. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Cheers,
take care. Have a good night.
That police officer couldn't have been more blatant about pulling him over purely because he was black, but seemed to think it was okay because he said, "No offence," and "I'm not racist though." The man felt he had to release the videos after the death of George Floyd in order to show people the discrimination black people continued to face against police officers. He said, quote, "I know what's going on. I understand how people are feeling. I can actually prove that the police here are the same even though they're denying it. I thought, actually, I've got the proof, so I thought now would be a good time to post it," unquote. The driver of the vehicle has never shared his name, as he is scared of repercussions, which is absolutely awful. The only people who should be scared of repercussions are those officers who, in my opinion, should lose their jobs, because if you're going to pull someone over because you think they might be a drug dealer based on the colour of their skin, you're not fit for the job. That police officer can say till he's blue in the face that he wasn't accusing him of being a drug dealer, but that's the whole basis as to why he stopped him. The video was viewed on social media over 84,000 times, and all the man wants is an apology. Quote, "I definitely like an apology from him, 100%, but I wouldn't like him to lose his job, but I think he definitely needs to undergo some sort of training," unquote. Personally, I think he's very understanding given the circumstances. Chief Constable at Cambridge Constabulary, Nick Dean, said, quote, "We are aware of a video circulating social media involving a Cambridgeshire officer. I can understand why such a clip would be concerning, especially with the current events surrounding the death of George Floyd. Here in Cambridgeshire, we have been and are committed to strengthening our ties with every community. In regards to this particular incident, I want to be clear that it was filmed in Ely more than 5 years ago, and we don't believe any formal complaint was ever received in relation to the officer's actions. The circumstances surrounding the incident at the time are being examined. I want to reassure you that I am committed to assuring all officers and staff act with the utmost integrity and professionalism," unquote. The driver of the car in question is not happy with this explanation, and understandably so, saying, quote, "It doesn't matter when it happened. If it happened 10 years ago, it still doesn't make it right. It still has to be dealt with. Also, there was no apology. Nothing whatsoever. There wasn't even anything saying what happened was wrong. It was basically them saying it was 5 years ago and I didn't make a complaint about it. But I didn't make a complaint because I was scared at the time. The first sign that comes into my mind is, are they going to stop me? Are they going to turn around? I look in the mirror every single second because I've just seen a police officer drive past. Are they coming back? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The paranoia that it's given me from that is absolutely crazy," unquote. He has since bought a pair of smart glasses to record any future incident of racial profiling. As he said, it has happened before and it probably will happen again. That is the world we're living in. That is how black people are treated just for driving down the street. Obviously, not by every single law enforcement officer. There are plenty out there who don't act this way, but there are plenty who do. I will update you if there's any news on what, if any, disciplinary action the officers in this case face. But without any further ado, let's uncover how racism killed Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice was born on the 25th of June 2002 to Samira Rice and Leonard Warner, and had an older sister called Tasia. Life wasn't always easy for the family, as when Tamir was only 8 years old, his father was convicted of domestic violence for assaulting Samira. Then 2 years later, she had legal issues of her own after pleading guilty to drug trafficking. Samira and Leonard separated, and she, Tamir and Tasia moved to Madison Avenue on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio, to be closer to their school and to the Kudal Recreational Centre where Tamir had been going for years. Tamir had been attending the centre for years, where he participated in a wide range of sport, including football, soccer, swimming and basketball. As well as loving sports, like a lot of 12-year-old boys, he loved superheroes and pretending to fight the bad guys. At 5'7" tall and 195 pounds, Tamir was very tall for his age, but all photos available of him online shows a happy, innocent young boy. A boy who loved his family, his friends, and playing with toys, the latter of which he was doing on the fateful afternoon of the 22nd of November 2014. That day, his mum gave him some money and sandwiches and he went to play at the recreational centre, something he did often. At 3 p.m, a civilian who was near the recreational centre called 911, and I'm going to play the audio now.
Even police, Hollinger.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm sitting in the park at West Boulevard by the West Boulevard Rapid Transit Station. And there's a guy in there with a pistol. You know, it's probably fake, but he's like pointing it at everybody.
And where are you at, sir?
I'm sitting in the park at West Coudel, West Boulevard by the West Boulevard Rapid Transit Station.
Are you, so you're at the Rapid Station? Are you at the Rapid Station?
No, I'm sitting across the street at the park.
What's the name of the park? Coudel?
Coudel, yes. The guy keeps pulling it in out of his pants. It's probably fake, but you know what?
What does he look like?
He has a camouflage hat on.
Is he black or white?
He has a gray coat with black sleeves and gray pants on.
Is he black or white?
I'm sorry.
Is he black or white?
He's black.
He said a camel jacket and gray pants?
No, he has a camouflage hat on. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Desert Storm. And on his jacket is gray, and he's got black sleeves on it. He's sitting on a swing right now, but he keeps pulling it in and out of his pants and pointing it at people. It's probably a juvenile, you know? Hello?
Do you know the guy?
No, I do not. Sure.
Okay, what's the police, okay?
I'm getting ready to leave, but you know what? He's right here by the, you know, the youth center or whatever. And he keeps pulling it in and out of his pants. I don't know if it's real or not. You know?
Okay, we'll send a call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to let you know, the part that is bleeped out of that call, the man who called 911 said to the dispatcher that Tamir was, quote, scaring the shit out of him, unquote. Although the man was right, the gun Tamir was holding was indeed a fake. It was a toy gun. The 911 dispatcher did not tell the officers that responded to the call that the gun was likely fake or that he was a juvenile. There is CCTV of Tamir at the recreational centre, which shows him walking around with a toy gun for several minutes. He comes in and out of the frame, and while it's not obvious by the footage publicly available, there is apparently a lot of children nearby at the time. The officers who responded to the call, Timothy Lohman and Frank Garnback, originally claimed that they asked Tamir to drop the gun several times, but he refused. Although this turned out not to be true, as the CCTV shows that within a few seconds of them arriving, Timothy Lohman shot Tamir in the torso. They sent for an ambulance, but neither attempted to give Tamir first aid and simply watched as a 12-year-old boy bled out in front of them. A few minutes after the shooting, a trained EMT arrived at the scene and did attempt to save Tamir's life. He said that the officers both looked, quote, shell-shocked, unquote, and they didn't know how to help the child. Tamir's sister Tasia also arrived at the scene, shocked to find that her brother had been shot. Her first instinct was to run over and help him, but she was physically restrained and handcuffed by the officers. The ambulance arrived and he was taken to hospital, but sadly, Tamir would die from his injuries the following day. The background of Officer Lohman is important to the story, so that's what I'm going to discuss now. He had only worked at the Cayuga Police Department for 9 months when he killed Tamir, and had previously been fired from another small town police department in Ohio. In a police memo sent by his former boss, Jim Polak, he described how at a training exercise at a shooting range, Timothy was, quote, distracted, weepy, and incommunicative, unquote, apparently over issues he was having with a woman in his life. Jim Polak went on to say that this behaviour, quote, leads one to believe he would not be able to substantially cope or make good decisions during or resulting from any other stressful situation, unquote, and described him as being, quote, emotionally immature, unquote, and said, quote, I do not believe time nor training will be able to change or correct these deficiencies, unquote. Doesn't sound like someone you'd want to be a policeman, right? That's exactly what Jim Polak thought, and he deemed Timothy to be unfit for duty and he was fired in 2012. Timothy remained unemployed for some time after this, but was determined to continue working as a police officer, applying at many different stations, until he was eventually hired at the Cahoga Police Department in February 2012, despite having failed the written entry exam. There was a huge public outcry when Timir was killed, and members of the public, alongside the Rice family, called for both officers to be prosecuted. A judge agreed and said that both officers should be charged with neglectful homicide and dereliction of duties. Although this wasn't legally binding, it was only advisory, and charges would never happen. It took over 6 months for the pair to even be questioned by police about Timir's death, and over a year for the grand jury to be impaneled to determine whether charges related to Timir's death should be filed against Timothy Lohman and Frank Gormbach. The grand jury hearings began on the 27th of October, and both officers were subpoenaed to testify. They read their sworn statements on the 1st of December. On the 28th of December, on advice from prosecutor Timothy McGinty, they failed to indict either officer with any crime. Sasha Ginberg, a lawyer for the Rice family, said this after the ruling, quote, Timir's family is saddened and disappointed by this outcome, but not surprised. It has been clear for months now that the Cahoga County prosecutor Timothy McGinty was abusing and manipulating the grand jury process to orchestrate a vote against indictment, even though video shows police shooting Timir in less than 1 second. Prosecutor McGinty hired so-called expert witnesses to try and exonerate the officers, unquote. Samira Rice made her own statement to the media, saying, quote, Prosecutor McGinty deliberately sabotaged the case, never advocating for my son and acting instead like the police officer's defence attorney. In a time which a non-indictment of two police officers who killed an unarmed black child is business as usual, we mourn for Timir and for all the black people who have been killed by the police without justice. In our view, this process demonstrates that race is still an extremely troubling and serious problem in our country and the criminal justice system. Unquote. Timothy McGinty made a statement after the grand jury hearing concluded, saying, quote, It is likely that Timir, whose size made him look much older, and who had been warned his pellet gun might get him in trouble that day, either intended to hand it over to officers or to show them it wasn't a real gun. But there was no way for the officers to know that, because they saw events rapidly unfolding in front of them from a very different perspective. Unquote. Not entirely what perspective he's on about, given that they shot him within 1 second of them arriving, but anyway. In order for the shooting of an unarmed civilian to be deemed as justified, the officer only has to perceive a threat, regardless if that threat is real or not. Timothy Lohman claims he did perceive a real threat, saying, quote, He gave me no choice, unquote. What choice did Timothy Lohman and Frank Gormbach give Timir? None. Did they ask him to put the gun down before shooting him? No. Did they even try to assess the scene before shooting Timir? No. Would they have shot him had he been a white boy playing with a toy gun? No. In what world does an unarmed child get shot and prosecutors just say, oops? It's absolutely disgusting. Shortly after the shooting, the Department of Justice conducted an investigation into the practices of the officers working at the Tahoga Police Department, and the results were shocking to say the least. They found that the police officers would use, quote, poor and dangerous tactics and excessive deadly force. Officers tolerate this behaviour and, in some cases, endorse it. Officers report they receive little supervision, guidance and support from the division, essentially leaving them to determine for themselves how to perform their difficult and dangerous jobs. Our investigation concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe the CPD engages in a pattern or practice of using unreasonable force in violation with the Fourth Amendment. That pattern manifested in a range of ways, including the unnecessary and excessive use of deadly force, including shootings and head strikes with impact weapons, the unnecessary unnecessary, excessive, or retaliatory use of less lethal force, including tasers, chemical spray, and fists, excessive force against persons who are mentally ill or in crisis, including in cases where officers were called exclusively for a welfare check, and the employment of poor and dangerous tactics that place officers in situations where avoidable risk becomes inevitable and places officers and civilians at unnecessary risk. Unquote. Like all other investigations like this, I'm sure they suggested changes that need to be made. And yes, that police department needs radical change, but so does our society. If Tamir Rice was white, I'm not 100% sure 911 would have been called that day, but I'm pretty damn sure he certainly wouldn't have been shot and murdered. He was a victim of unnecessary police violence and the type of institutional racism that happens every day. And the fact that no one is being held criminally responsible is reprehensible to me. Tamir should be celebrating his 18th birthday. Instead, his family are grieving and people are still angry over his senseless death, and quite rightly so. After her son was killed, Samira Rice moved out of her home as she couldn't bear to live so close to the spot where Tamir was shot. She and Teja moved into homeless shelters for a while until the public raised enough funds for her to afford an apartment. She went on to sue the city of Cleveland, Ohio for wrongful death and was given $6 million in 2019. Prosecutor Timothy McGinty was not re-elected to serve as prosecutor for the District Attorney's Office, likely due to his poor handling of Tamir's case. The 911 operator, Constance Hollinger, was suspended without pay for 8 days for not giving all necessary details to officers. And Timothy Lohman wouldn't even be fired until a year and a half after the shooting. Not for killing Tamir, but for quote, providing false information, unquote, to the department when he was originally hired, claiming that they didn't know about his history at other police departments. He was later hired by the Bel Air Police Department in Ohio, but as people protested this, he decided to withdraw his application. Richard Flanagan, the police chief at the Bel Air Police Department, said, quote, I have accepted his withdrawal from the Bel Air Police Department. The pressures of all of this. He's been through enough the last few years. He cared about the community here. He didn't want any protests, no violence, nothing of that nature. Unquote. Yeah, he has been through enough. He's not been through nearly as enough as he deserves. I was unable to find out where he works currently, but I can only hope he is no longer employed as a law enforcement officer. Frank Garnback was suspended for 10 days and made to undergo additional training. And that's it. That's the only repercussions that came from an unarmed black child being killed. Remember, there will be no justice, there will be no peace, no lives matter until black lives matter. Thank you for listening till the very end. Please tune in tomorrow for the next episode in my Racism Killed series. And thank you for listening till the very end. Please stay safe and have a good night.